Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, March the 6th, the 62nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, noted CPA, Bill McCauley. Boy, you're almost awake.
I am. Well, I'm awake, yeah. I'm having a good moment.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's time to be awake, so that's good.
Yeah.
I had to drive over here, and that's...
Oh, you know, I see. Windows down.
Never good to be sleeping when you're driving. I generally try to avoid it anyway.
Driving or sleeping or sleeping
both.
When you're driving?
Yeah, both.
Yeah, the combo
yeah.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
A recipe for seeing the next day.
Yeah, exactly. recipe for getting where you're going.
Yeah, well, one way or another.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So what'd you bring with you there?
Oh, I got a few little things. There's some stuff going on in terms of the state screwing up some tax forms and some other. There's a series of things going on out there in terms of, the IRS would like people to be aware that there are some scams going on that people seem to be susceptible to. So we'll
talk about some things to pay attention to.
Yeah. And we'll talk about...
And how to drive at high speeds while you're tired.
And we'll talk about why you might get a letter from the Franchise Tax Board.
Me?
the royal you, Brian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the collective.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody out there needs to be paying attention.
Possibly.
We'll be driving at high speeds when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley, but before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, you like Robert E. Lee or Harold Jeanin?
Robert E. Lee.
Oh, the other guy's a business guy.
Robert E. Lee.
I thought all business guys flocked together.
Yeah.
Really not. Huh?
Yeah.
You want war. Fine.
Yeah.
Here we go, war. I cannot trust a man to control others. Who cannot
control himself.
Yeah. Heard that one before?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't quite as educational then. It could have been.
No, but it was a good. It's a good quote.
Okay.
Don't like it, huh?
No, it was nice and short.
Yeah.
And I didn't stumble on it. Of course I liked it.
Yeah. It was a nice delivery on your part, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I've been practicing.
Your finest moment.
Yeah.
It's all downhill from here now.
Yeah, well, kind of a given in the equation, isn't it? So the state of California has managed to screw up the tax forms?
Yeah.
Is this like a simple typo and inverting the order of a couple of letters, or is this something a little bit more significant than that?
It's a little more significant. They just didn't think something through. And I know that's kind of stunning for our state government to have failed to think something all the way through. But as most people probably will recall, for 2011 and now for 2012, people who pay or people's Social Security taxes withheld from their wages, the employee share, is 2% lower. So the employee share of Social Security is 4.2% instead of what normally is 6.2%. So that change meant that people all across the wage paying spectrum, from the low earners to the high earners, got a portion of their Social Security that they didn't pay in last year in 2011 and in 2012 that. They got to retain on a week-by-week basis, or if you're a quarterly estimated tax payment guy, then you got to theoretically save it throughout the year as you made your quarterly payments.
And that part was known.
That is known. And the interesting or the twist is for the self-employed. Self-employed people pay the equivalent of Social Security and Medicare, but they pay both halves. So typically for one of us who might be employed, who are being paid a wage, we would receive our wages less one half of the total Social Security and total Medicare taxes that's being paid for a particular person. In other words, the employer pays 6.2%, and on a normal in a year other than 2011 to 2012, the employee has 6.2% withheld from their check. In addition, there's 1.45% that's withheld from both, or that's paid from both sides. The employer pays and the employee pays, that represents Medicare. And so those two things have always been the same amount. Employer pays the same amount as the employee pays from their share. Now that you have a differential where it's 4.2% for on the employee side, there's a wrinkle that comes through for the self-employed. The self-employed pay their taxes through what's called the self-employment tax, and normally they pay 15.3%, which is 6.2 plus 6.2 plus 1.45 plus 1.45. In other words, a 2.9% total Medicare tax plus a 12.4% Social Security tax. And that's how that normally is computed. Well, now that the formula is a little different because the employer share of that calculation is reduced by 2%, and the self-employed benefit by that. So their total self-employment tax is reduced by that 2%. So what that means is that there was where the problem lies is that for self-employed folks, they are also allowed a deduction for half of their self-employment tax historically.
The business side,
the employer side of that tax, they're allowed a deduction as an adjustment to gross income when arriving at adjusted gross income. So in terms of determining their income tax, they get a deduction for half of their self-employment tax, which again is that 6.2 employer share Social Security and the 1.45 employer share Medicare. All that's fine, except that the employer share, or the employee share, is reduced. So then the question was, what do we do with that for this deduction?
So was it a times two, or was it a 6.2?
So what it is the way that the federal law works is that the deduction is based upon the employer share. So it's 6.2 plus 1.45, which for somebody who's, you know, for a normal person, it's about 57.5% of the total paid for self-employment tax. California says, no, it's 50%. But they forgot to fix their forms to make sure. So they had that line on the form grayed out where you couldn't complete and show a difference in the self-employment tax deduction because they've never had one before. So somewhere in February, the Franchise Tax Board realized they had a problem because on their form, the line that would allow you to adjust, excuse me, that deduction was grayed out and you couldn't fill it out. So somewhere in the middle of February, they realized it. They let the software companies know, oops, we have a problem, and they've made this change. So now
the impact of that
is that if you filed your return before the change occurred in the forms, or before the later of when the change occurred in the forms, or when your software company
updated
the form, then the Franchise Tax Board is being very kind. They say you don't have to amend your return. We'll send you a letter if you owe the tax. So what that means
there
is
the correspondence reference you made earlier.
That's right. So self-employed people who filed early may be getting a letter from the Franchise Tax Board. Now, they've said that they're not going to nickel and dime people, so that if the adjustment's very small, they may not send a letter, but they haven't quantified what that means.
They're just going to hammer you big.
Yeah, they have not come back and said, hey, it's going to be X or Y amount. But the other thing that I guess, if you're using TurboTax, if you don't update your software, it's still wrong. So and I really don't know anything more about TurboTax, and I'm not in a position to offer really help with TurboTax.
A lot of insight there,
but
yeah.
My understanding is you would need to update your TurboTax. Otherwise, you're still going to get the wrong answer.
So you got to go to their website or whatever.
Apparently,
it is.
You know, anyway, since that's not really my niche, I'll, you know.
No, I defer to others also on a very regular basis about that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So anyway, so it's something that if you filed early and you're self-employed, there is a possibility you'll be getting a letter from the Franchise Tax Board saying, hey, you claimed too big a deduction for the self-employment tax because they did not even have a place on the form where the line says, here's where you'd make the adjustment. It was grayed out. So,
does that ripple into the federal returns also?
No, it won't affect the federal returns.
KIS.
Well, except in one respect.
Oh, fine.
Yeah.
Dealing with the exceptional.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe that should be the name of this show.
Yeah.
Reflect. We'll be back. It's 4:25.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:29. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, you were talking a little bit about this oversight by the state. And you kind of laid it out pretty black and white. And then just at the break, you said, but wait. There's an exception.
Well, you asked if it had any impact on the federal side of things, and it doesn't really have any impact on the 2011 federal tax return. It will have potentially an impact on your 2012 tax return for the simple reason that if you have to turn around and let's say that you were entitled to a $1,000 refund and the state sends it, and then they come back later and sends you a notice and say, hey, we want you to pay back $50, picking a number out of the sky, then next year you're going to have a deduction, in effect, for that $50 that you've paid, and you may have to be picking up income for that refund. But you're going to have to make sure you get that handled right in your return in 2012, whereas normally it's just you don't have to worry about having, you know, did I get a refund? Okay, that might be taxable if the rules, you know,
much
are such.
Much more automatic.
So there may be a little more thinking that has to go on in terms of making sure that's accounted for correctly in terms of the state income tax deduction for 2012.
Good memory. That's my long suit.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. What? Who? Where?
You're what?
Yeah. Oh, gee. Yeah. So that's the only snafu at this point that's been
routinely upon. It's really the biggest little bugaboo that happened. And unfortunately, when they fixed it, it kind of, you know, the news relative to what they were doing kind of trailed the change. So I think that the communication occurred with the software companies probably first, and yet that didn't necessarily translate to getting out in the preparer community really quickly.
KINS, News and Information Times, 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with noted CPA Bill McCauley.
One noted CPA.
Well, okay, fine.
Yeah.
You said something about the IRS.
I did.
And it was a positive statement.
I did.
What are you talking about here?
Well, the IRS is concerned that there's always new, as we're all aware, there's new fraud schemes out there in the world there's nothing new under the sun, and so they're repeated and changed and they recast and come back out. And we're all aware of, if we get an email from Nigeria and somebody's trying to get money out of the country, hopefully at this point we've all learned that's a fraud scheme. But some of the other ones that have a greater air of legitimacy surrounding them are more problematic. And so, as an example, the IRS is aware of certain promoters contacting, making particular telephone solicitations of citizens, taxpayers, and saying, you may be entitled to this. And so,
ads on cable TV?
Yeah, probably. This is more of
approach.
Yeah, but even worse because they may say you're entitled to the American Opportunity Tax Credit, and that's for people who get education. And it doesn't. That's true. Okay, those two statements are true. But then they go beyond and they make statements like, the American Opportunity Tax Credit is available to you whether you got your education 40 years ago. You can still get this credit, and so they'll go through. And people being trusting when they shouldn't be go, wow, I need to, and so what happens is, and where what a person should be aware of is somebody trying to present something that sounds better than, sounds too good to be true. And if you stop and think about it, somebody saying you're entitled to a tax credit now for money you spent years and years and years ago, that's probably too good to be true. And so we need to use our common sense. But our common sense gets fouled up because there's an air legitimacy because you start talking about the tax structure and you start talking about, and I think we all, just to one degree or another, we all kind of believe there's people who have it figured out better than we do and they're taking advantage of stuff that I don't know about.
So it's one of those proceed with caution.
Yeah, you should in this case you should hang up and not continue the conversation.
Oh, this is a telephone old telephone again?
Yeah, there's telephone and there's also some email, but it is a telephone deal. And so the problem is, and they seem to be, like with most scams, focusing on senior citizens. Senior citizens are probably, and I don't know this from any educational trained basis, but it's widely believed that senior citizens are more susceptible to people playing confidence games with them and enjoining their trust and then abusing it. And so that's where these kinds of things happen. So,
well, let's step back. So there is an educational tax break, something or another.
The American Opportunity Tax Credit, yes.
Okay, so that's
true.
Legit.
Yeah.
And it is what?
It's for people who are currently going to school and who are paying education expenses. And if you fall into certain income strata, you may be eligible to, as an example, if you have kids in school and you're paying for their education and your income is within certain limits, you may be entitled to the American Opportunity Tax Credit for your child's undergraduate education. It kind of has replaced the old HOPE credit that was in place.
Okay, so that part's legit.
Yeah.
And it has
the air of legitimacy associated with it. It's relatively new.
Okay. Is there any retroactivity to it?
None.
Kind of shuts that door pretty quick, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so these folks are taking that and then implying it goes backwards.
Right.
Like to when you and I got put through.
Right. Yeah. Back when we
or before.
Back when when we had to carve the
Ascots were in then.
Yeah. Yeah. We had to push the carts to.
Yeah.
I mean, so Yeah, so it's a person really needs to be aware of any type of solicitation like that, and you should be in particular aware of any of these things that seem to require a large disproportionate upfront payment for somebody to get this thing done. We can get you this tax credit.
Any advance payment to get it done.
Well, yes, but if it's a large one. I mean, if somebody's saying, hey, we can do this for you, we want you to pay this up front, probably you should be extraordinarily careful. And if it's a big payment, you should never do it.
Tell you what, bud, bill me after it's done.
Just well, even like then, normal. I mean, the problem with it is, what if you do, I mean, when we had the first-time homebuyer credits, there are a lot of fraudulent credits. Well, I might have been able to call somebody on the phone, not that I would have done this, but one of these people could have called someone on the phone and said, hey, we can help you get this home buyer credit. You bought your home 10 years ago, but you're entitled. And if you pay me X amount up front, or even if you don't, we'll get you the credit. Well, the IRS, unfortunately, didn't do a very good job processing those credits and allowed a lot of them to prisoners and other people who should never have had one. And so... You know, there were ways, and there have been ways, where somebody could say, hey, I don't have to be paid up front. I can be paid at the back end. Here's the problem. That person's just helped you commit a fraud against the U.S. government. And you're the one who's holding the bag, ultimately, when they come back and try to look at the credit and go, wait a minute, we shouldn't have allowed you that $8,000 credit. And you say, but I paid $5,000 in fees to get that $8,000 credit, or $1,000 in fees. Pick your number. You're not going to get that back because those people are gone. So there are a lot of ways that these things could be done. So you need to be really careful about things that talk about no documentation required. You know, these kinds of statements, and they get made. So and then anything that implies that you can get a credit without any proof of eligibility, and then sometimes these schemes get perpetuated with churches, and they kind of spread around the church. So that's another place to be careful, because
by parishioners or
one person does it, and because there's a real family atmosphere there, well, you need to talk to this guy, and pretty soon everybody's participating in the scheme totally unwittingly.
Oh, it's not a member of the congregation or the parish. It's
no.
One person got tapped.
One person got tapped, and then they share it with their good friends. Because, if I'm a fraudster, do you have any more friends I could do this for? Well, yes, I do. A bunch of people who bought houses in the last 50 years who could get this credit, And so, anyway, so just be aware that use your common sense. And really, generally we have a pretty good internal filter for this stuff, and sometimes the hairs on the back of the neck whatever your little early warning sign is, go ahead. You really should listen to them and make sure you do your homework before you do anything like this. And if somebody says that there's a real rush to get this done and you got to get this, and pushing to do this and that, that's probably another indicator that maybe that's not. If you're dealing with somebody who's other than a trusted advisor and they're telling you got to do this in a hurry, that's not a good sign, and that's a warning sign.
KINS News and Information Times 4:43. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:47. A couple minutes left with Bill McCauley. So we talk about trends a lot of times this time of the year. Are you seeing anything different? Are there any areas that folks are tending to overlook with some of the tax returns that you've seen so far?
No, I wouldn't say there's strong trends that you'd look at and say, okay, this seems to be. I mean, what we've seen is the cumulative effect of interest rates being bottomed out for all this period of time is people who are living on a fixed income and living off of their investments, are really having, they're either having to make some really difficult or challenging, tough decisions to keep their life costs down, or their nest egg is getting depleted. And that's a rough one. So, I mean, and you're looking, and there's still not reason to think that interest rates are going to rise substantially, and at least for the near term. And so that's a very challenging situation. As far as the tax side of things, I think the thing that we're seeing is there's a challenge from a preparation standpoint is the new basis rules that the IRS passed. And basically under these rules, the brokerage houses all have to maintain cost basis information for securities that are purchased by their customers. And that started effective January 1, 2011. So there's a whole reporting regime that's necessary to report this stuff in the tax returns appropriately. And it's added layers of complexity, obviously. And there's certain transactions that are covered by these new rules, and they're called a covered transaction. And then there's non-covered transactions, which are the transactions that occurred that for whatever reason don't fall under these rules. And so if you're preparing a return with a number of capital gain transactions from a brokerage statement, you really need to read that thing carefully and make sure you understand what it's telling you and how those things be reported. Otherwise, if you don't report them the right way, you're likely to get correspondence from the IRS.
Even with all the extensions that were in place this year for getting the documentation to the individuals, should you have everything by now?
You should have all of your 1099s. You should have all of your W-2s. If you're invested in partnerships or you have interests in trusts, those K-1s don't have to be prepared until a later date. So you may have a partnership or an S corporation, as an example, that may not have prepared its returns and prepared the K-1 forms, which are a lot like a 1099 form, except they're a K-1. It's just a name; it's a nomenclature issue. But the naming of the thing, it doesn't really matter. The point is, it's tax information, and those things, they could be available now, or they could just be kind of bleeding their way out into the system as they get done. So
pay attention. No panic yet.
No, I don't think so.
If you've got one of those
scenarios. Yeah, if you got one of those things. And generally, if you do, you know who to call to try to get it. And there are some online sources to pull that stuff up.
Thanks for coming by.
It's a pleasure.
If you're familiar with those online sources. Join us tomorrow afternoon with more Talk Shop. Until then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.